This is Notes from a Native Daughter. I am Sol Danela. I am here tonight with Angel Manuel Soto, Puerto Rican filmmaker, screenwriter, editor. His latest film, La Granja, The Farm, Happiness is Hard, is a scathing and unapologetic socio-political commentary. It's very powerful, unsettling, and brave. And it opens this Friday, June 9th, in theatrical release in the U.S. and goes for video on demand as of June 20th. Gracias nuevamente, Ángel, for your time. Let's talk about this decadent, deprived, immoral, broken, and degenerate world that you create that I guess that, you know, it's make-believe, but there is this very sublime truth to it that's really heartbreaking. And I was wondering how you come about to create this world, you know? And was it unsettling for you to create?
Yeah, this world of La Granja is pretty much inspired on the part of Puerto Rico that people are exposed to. The Puerto Rico that you will never see on postcards and on the travel channel. This is the Puerto Rico that lives day by day, trying to make ends meet in the midst of probably the worst bankruptcy case in the U.S. When I was writing La Granja was during the government of Fortunio, pro-statehood, and it was going through probably the worst crime wave Puerto Rico has ever been, and probably the year where it borrowed the biggest amount of money from Wall Street vulture funds. So during that time, I was getting already unsettled with the whole situation, coming from an apologetic separatist background. I knew that the way the country was being run was eventually going to be a disaster, just like any colony. It only fits certain group of people. And never for the people that live in the country. So I decided to create this metaphor of the way people live and push it to the extreme, and how at the end of the day, when pushing gets to shoving, our reaction is mostly animal.
Yeah. And how do you see that precisely, that animalistic behavior?
Well, in the real world, like, in the case of La Granja, I used different situations to explore different longings. You have La Gallina, which is this barren midwife who brings kids to the world, but she can't have a kid for herself. You know, that speaks a lot of that patriotic longing that Puerto Rico has to be its own country. At the same time, it has never had the opportunity, and it never will have the opportunity given its colonial situation. You have the other one of El Gallo, which is a former boxer that trains his son to become a world champ, but at the same time uses him to on underground fights to pay off the debt.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, it's pretty much what's happening in Puerto Rico, where now all the young people have to pay the consequences and overwork in order to pay a debt that could never be paid. And then the third one, La Mula, which is about a boy who longs for his sister's affection. And at the same time, it's a drug mule for the same drugs that are killing her, right?
Yeah.
To the ones that she's addicted to. That it speaks a lot also of that other part of the island who wishes to be a part of the U.S., expecting the U.S. to be this father figure, when at the end of the day, the relationship that the U.S. government has had with Puerto Rico has been closer to a bastard son than a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put them together, you create this farm where people have nothing left but to behave like animals.
And, yeah, I mean, you left me. It's so powerful, Angel. And, you know, like, as I was watching the film, and I told you this before, like, I was afraid. I had to pause it. I wasn't sure if I could go on, but I did go on, of course. And because it makes you think it, and because I guess that reality, it's not only true for Puerto Rico, that reality is true for so many places, including in the U.S., you know, in these marginalized mm-hmm. pockets that, you know, we seldom talk about and people want to look at, where the masses are hidden and basically, you know, trying to survive and falling to the lowest levels, you know, in order to find a way to survive. It's a crazy contradiction.
Yep.
And so what about the children that, you know, that are in this film, especially, you know, the two boys that are so young and have to manage this script? How did that come about? How did you prepare them? How was your relationship with them?
Well, we on the casting of this film, I wanted to go with a more neo-realistic way
mm-hmm.
of capturing these characters. The shooting technique was almost documentary, like more verite. So mm-hmm. I decided, like, if I show people that were unknown, it will create a more visceral experience. We casted, like, for the boxer, we casted a real boxer whose eyes showed a lot of what he was going through without having to talk about it. So we went with a normal, like, very humble kid who thought this experience was interesting and decided to go for it. The other kid has acted before on very small things, and he was a natural. Like, you could snap your fingers and he could cry like normal. Like, he was very, very talented. So when it came to the scene where he needs to beat up the other kid,
mm-hmm.
We tried to make it fun.
Wow.
We tried to make this situation as comfortable as possible. Like, obviously we took as many precautions as we could, and we never made it look like we are making two kids fight.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to make it really fun and having them enjoy it and not overwork them. So yeah, they had fun doing it, and it got to a point where, you know, like the boxer guy, he's like, oh my gosh, I'm like, I'm hitting him too much. And, you know, so we stopped and we let them have fun, because at the end of the day, we didn't want them to carry the weight that I was trying to show.
Yeah.
It's all make-believe, so we really tried to keep it that way.
Yeah, but that your make-believe, I mean, that's sort of what I found so fascinating, that it's a make-believe realm that you create, that you operate in, but you address these very hard circumstances, realities, and truths. And it's really shocking, and I commend you with that, because that's a very difficult thing to do, and I suppose that a lot of people don't want to see that, you know, the uncomfortableness of it, you know, when you see the reality. I read that it took 4 years to make, and that it was difficult to bring it to production. Is this correct? In Puerto Rico?
Yes. It wasn't much money. So, you know, it's a micro budget film, very low. It was done with $250,000, which is really nothing in the film industry.
Yeah.
So in order to make it work, we have to shoot a lot in a small amount of time. So in 14 days, we shot the film. Like, that process was actually pretty straightforward. It was on the post-production side where elections happened. There was a change of government, and the new government that came in was suffering all the cuts from this debt and the unpayable debt that we have with Wall Street.
Yeah.
Illegal debt that we have with Wall Street.
Yeah.
So all of this was happening at the same time, and obviously the film depicts a Puerto Rico that nobody wants to see. Nobody wants to see themselves in the mirror when you are going to pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was facing a lot of opposition on its imminent release. So it took a while to make it work. The post-production process took us like a year and a half to just finish editing the film.
Mm.
And then getting all the pieces together, trying to finish getting the rest of the money to come in, and eventually do the theatrical release in Puerto Rico. It took a lot of work and a lot of sweating, going back and forth. Like, it literally traveled the world before it premiered in Puerto Rico.
Mm. Yeah.
So, I mean, now it's over and now it's good, and, you know, let's see if we can make a difference with it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what is your intention, in a sense, with this?
Well, my intention the whole time was, apart from my personal wanting to be a director and you know, and create my world, I also wanted to create a dialogue on Puerto Rico. A lot of the people felt like Puerto Rico is just, you know, palm trees and beaches and white sand and music, you know. So I really wanted to show and confront people with Puerto Rico and start a dialogue on why this could be happening, and start talking about the colonization of Puerto Rico and how through decolonization, in our case, because every Latin American country is its own world, but in Puerto Rico, I strongly believe that the first step to get out of this situation is through decolonization. Because right now, colonization is impacting education.
Yeah.
And there's no way you can have a solid country without education. And the only way to get an education that's proper and that's realistic is through decolonization. Because right now, if you keep the people uneducated, they'll take anything you give them. And people rather stay a colony because they're not informed. Yeah. So decolonization will produce a better education that will eventually make Puerto Rico the country that it could be, because we are very talented and we're hardworking people. Like, it's in us. Like, we can do it. We just need to get out of the system.
Yeah. And also implicated in that is the complexity of the diaspora, no? This mm-hmm. incredible travel, migration of people between the mainland and the island, now in third, fourth, and even fifth generations, and maybe even sixth, because this has been going on for over 100 years. And what that means for this big pueblo that exists there and here, you know? And I include mm-hmm. myself within that, in that confluence of contradictions that we are, and how do we come to terms with with who we are now and who we've become, I should say.
I agree.
You know, because it's an extended people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see different reactions from the diaspora, and the diaspora sometimes tend to be more nationalistic than the locals.
Yeah, that's true.
The diaspora like you have like people like the Young Lords Army. Mm-hmm. And we're all about freedom of Puerto Rico and freedom about any other oppressed country in the world.
Right.
So yeah, like even the Puerto Rican Day Parade came out as a manifestation against the gag law that was passed in the 40s that criminalized any Puerto Rican that would sing, wave a flag, sing an anthem, or show any sort sense of patriotism. So we have gone through a lot of stuff that eventually, you know, it's the slave mentality. And it's that type of information that needs to get embedded in our system in order to feel like we have something better that could be handed to us that has been taken from us. You know what I mean? Like, without this knowledge, we will always see and look up to somebody, whatever is out there north of us, for salvation. Because we always think less of ourselves. We may be proud of Ricky Martin and, you know, the Puerto Rican team or whatever, but that's where it ends. Like, you can see other people do this great stuff, but you never believe in yourself. And I think that has a lot to do with the colonized mentality.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things that I actually long to start becoming a conversation. Like, what can we do or what can be done for that type of behavior that we see depicted in the film to end?
Mm-hmm. Well, this relates my response to you in terms of a conversation. What you're saying about, you know, why the diaspora, in a sense, manifests itself as nationalistic is one of the reasons, and I've been thinking about this lately a lot, is because though we are American citizens, we, for the most part, most of the experience is one of it's an immigrant experience, right? Where most of the Puerto Rican population throughout the years has been really marginalized and living in very poor communities, which is very closely related to the experiences of African American, Native American nations, and all kinds of minority groups that find themselves oppressed in the United States. And there is this, like, this gap there where that reality doesn't necessarily translate to in the island, to the experience of living in the island, because it's a different life, it's a different lifestyle. While here, we have to fight against racism and accents and stereotypes because we belong to the quote-unquote minority group, right? We're the Hispanics, we are the other. And that immediately plays on, you know, white supremacy, supremacy, you know, who we are against them. And that's like a very profound conversation, but it's part of why it's so complex, right? They don't understand, for the most part, that complexity that happens here in that experience, you know? Where I'm at right now in the South Bronx, you know, like Hostos Community College, you know, part of my life, you know, the people that started the college demanded it because they were living, you know, in infrahuman conditions, you know? The Bronx was burning. Y eso era prácticamente todo el mundo puertorriqueño.
Yep.
So that creates a different kind of consciousness. And I think there's that tension between these two narratives that don't seem to find themselves to speaking. You know, all I see is a lot of vitriol and hatred, and it's just very disheartening.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So your movie has made me think about all these things, and I think it's, you know, it's important and brave, and I'm so glad that it's coming out now. And, you know, I'm running this today when La Parada Puertorriqueña is happening, and all of the narratives that have soiled, you know, who we are and what it means, and, you know, against Don Oscar López Rivera, you know, it's or because of that, you know, that was what was chosen to sort of kick it in the butt.
I agree.
So can I ask you something else? This is like unrelated, but I saw your little, this is unrelated, but I think it's, it speaks to me about the contrast of you as an artist and director. Like, you have this really hardcore film, and then you have something as beautiful as, I guess, your homage to The Old Man and the Sea.
Yeah.
You know, so where did that come from?
Well, I'm a big Hemingway fan. Mm-hmm. I've been my whole life. It's not just the best, in my opinion, the best American writer out there that ever existed so far, but his life and the way he lived life for me is very inspiring. And after the premiere of La Granja, I got an invitation from DDB Latina, the agency who was doing the lottery campaign that year.
Mm-hmm.
And they came with this idea of, well, we want to do like this small film, you know, like a film, a commercial, like a film about this old man who lives a simple life. And I pretty much thought about the way I want to be if I ever won the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much what you're seeing there is what I hope my life would be if I make it.
Yeah.
Inspired in the good things from Hemingway and the way he carried himself. So even I've always seen success not having to do so much about money.
Mm-hmm.
or progress in that way, you know, like it's not, progress and success has nothing to do with material value and money, in mm-hmm. my opinion.
Right.
It has everything to do with a state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
If you can wake up every morning and do what you love, you are very successful. So like with that mentality, you could be a millionaire and still have your old car. And instead of buying a new boat, you build your own boat. It's those stuff that I think makes a man complete. And that's why I did that. It was pretty much an homage to Hemingway.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if somebody told me, write or film how you see your life being,
mm-hmm.
what's your goal?
Yeah,
that's it. I had the opportunity to do that. And it did pretty well. It won 4 awards in Puerto Rico.
It's beautiful. It's very, very beautiful. It moved me. And I got it. I'm also a Hemingway fan, so maybe that's, we're kindred spirits in that.
Yeah.
In addition to all the other stuff that I'm sure, and I hope that when I go to Puerto Rico next, I get to see you in person and we can talk more. But I'm going to leave you for now. I want to thank you for you know, speaking to me again. Congratulations on your wonderful movie.
Thank you.
Be sure to let people know to see it and hopefully engage in more interesting conversations like this and conversations that can actually help people and understand ourselves como puertorriqueños. Yeah. Here 100%. And there.
Siempre.
Dale.
Gracias por todo.
Gracias a ti. Chao.
Chao.